This is Jay Sekulow, our guest in studio, Pastor Andrew Brunson and his wife, Noreen.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you had a great holiday weekend. Let me start by saying we're going to be joined in the next segment of the broadcast by Pastor Andrew Brunson. You remember, he was in jail in Turkey for 2 years, and because of God's grace, the work of the ACLJ, your support of the ACLJ, we were able to secure his release. It's been a great victory, but we're actually going to have him in studio. He and his wife, Noreen, are with us. Before we get to that, though, let me say on behalf of all of us, I know Jordan wants to say this too, a huge thank you to those of you supporting the work of the ACLJ, because we ended up with a great month just concluded in August. We're up against, as we said, those matching challenges are big when we have them, and we exceeded what we anticipated. We met our goals, which is great. Your support of the ACLJ made that happen. So before we get into the Brunson story, I want to get that done and say thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't do it often on the broadcast, but when we do it, you all respond, and you are a core group of supporters, those who listen to the broadcast regularly. Whether you're a new listener or a longtime listener to the broadcast, or whether you're someone who watches on Facebook or Periscope. So whether it's terrestrial radio, whether it's a Sirius XM or Facebook and Periscope, let us thank you. We saw significant numbers increase during the show. And that means that you were responding directly to our ask.
Absolutely.
And again, it's something we don't want to do and have to do often throughout the year. But we do have to do it sometimes, and because of your support, we met those goals. So we have to thank you absolutely so much for your financial support to the ACLJ.
So it was just a little bit, almost a year ago. It was October 12, 2018. American Pastor Andrew Brunson was finally released from being wrongfully detained in Turkey. We confirmed our statement that we issued that day says we can confirm that after more than 2 years of detainment based on his Christian faith, Pastor Andrew is preparing to leave Turkey, return home to the United States. As you know, we represented Pastor Brunson throughout this ordeal, and it was ordeal. You're going to hear from him in a moment about the whole situation. We're going to take your calls. If you just want to let Pastor Brunson know you were praying for him, if you want to let him know that if you have a question for him, we'd be happy to take those. You'll be able to speak to Pastor Brunson and his wife, Noreen, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. So we encourage you to get your calls in early on that. We'll be taking comments in by Facebook and Periscope as well. Look, the plight of the persecuted church is significant, and that's whether it's in countries like Syria and Iraq, in the Middle East, but also right there in Turkey, which was a U.S. NATO ally, and yet an American was held for 2 years. Of course, we thank the president for his work. It was God's grace that got Pastor Brunson out, but the president was fearless in his protection of this pastor and demanding his release, not only publicly many, many times, sending out not only tweets, but also making public statements about this. It took a lot of effort, and the president was willing to put economic sanctions in place on Turkey because of their wrongful detainment. We've never had that experience in all these cases we've had. We've never had president gets, all these people lob criticisms on the president, but few people say thank you for the work you did in getting these people that were held in captivity free. And I've never seen a president that's done it like this president has, to be blunt. Putting politics aside, Republican, Democrat, Independent, Green Party, whatever you are, this president has made this a priority of getting Americans released and has had great results in that. He takes it very personally. I can tell you that firsthand as his lawyer. He takes it very personally and he engages it very directly.
It's a contrast. In my new book coming out September 24th, The Next Red Wave, we talk about actually is the difference. We compare Pastor Brunson's case and Saeed Abedini's case and how hard it was to get the Obama administration just to engage. And in Pastor Brunson's case, how easy it was to get the Trump administration to engage at the very highest levels, including the President of the United States, directly engaging with the President of Turkey. And so you compare and contrast what kind of leaders you want as a country when it comes down to Americans imprisoned abroad. I think it's a pretty easy choice.
All right, we're going to be joined by Pastor Brunson, his wife Noreen. So Andrew Brunson, Noreen Brunson joining us. Also, don't forget, share this with your friends right now. Facebook and Periscope. We'll be back with your calls at 800-684-3110. Here we go.
We'll be right back.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Well, this is a real treat for us at the ACLJ. Our team in our media center was able to meet with Andrew and Noreen Brunson about an hour ago. And for many that have worked on this case involving Pastor Brunson for almost 2 years, this is the first time they actually saw Noreen in the flesh. I mean, they've seen the pictures, they've heard Noreen's voice, but to have Pastor Brunson actually in the studio is important. I think it's really important here to start from the beginning, and that is Pastor Brunson. How you ended up in Turkey. I mean, you were a pastor, you were trained. Let's talk about how you decided, what was the leading to go to Turkey?
Well, actually, our church asked us to go there. We didn't especially want to go to Turkey. We wanted to go to Egypt, but they asked us to go to Turkey. And we're so glad we did, even though we had some difficulties there. We have no regrets about going there. And
so was it the idea was the church wanted you, like a church plant, basically?
Yes, they wanted us to go there. Turkey's the largest unevangelized country in the world, so there's a good reason for missionaries to go there.
Yeah. Noreen, how did you feel when you first started talking about it as a family? How old were your kids when they were about to go to Turkey?
We didn't have any
kids yet.
We were just
married.
That's right.
So what was your thoughts about that?
You know, I was set on the on Egypt. I did not want to go to Turkey. I cried on the plane. I was sure my life was done. But I was just commenting on how ironic it is. I'm leaving Turkey, and now I'm crying that I'm not there.
Yeah.
So God really just tied it to our hearts.
So Egypt was on your heart, though, before, which is interesting. We do a lot of work in the Middle East, and we've done a lot of work in Egypt. But Egypt was on the heart before you went to Turkey.
It was. Yes.
It was. Go ahead, Jordan.
And it was 23 years in Turkey until you were arrested. So, I mean, a total of 25 years. But 23 years you did this work. So your children were born there, raised there, went to school there. I mean, this is where life was in that next phase of your life.
We assumed that we would be there for the rest of our lives.
Yes. What was life like pre-arrest? What was life like for the church, for your ministry, what you were doing, and for your family in Turkey? People, you know, a lot of people have not been to Turkey. It's a popular tourist destination. Been a little tough lately for the U.S. But what was life like in Turkey, and what was the church life like in Turkey?
I will just say that there was not a dull day in Turkey. I always say that. Some days were good, some days were bad, but nothing was boring. There was always something changing, something happening. Of course, what we were doing in the ministry is an uphill battle.
Yeah.
But it was always exciting.
That's something to talk about, and that is what you actually, when you do, we think of a church plan, it's, you know, if you're in, you know, Charlotte, North Carolina, you can go to one of the suburbs. This is a very different situation when you're operating in a country. So you go to Turkey, Andrew, you're there. How does it start? I mean, how do you start a church plant in You were in Izmir, Turkey, Smyrna, so we would know it.
Yeah. So most cities in Turkey don't have a church. They don't have a missionary there. So when we go into a place, what we actually do is try to be visible so that those who are seeking know where to go if they have questions. So we would just try to, we would open up a place, put a sign up that said church, and often you get negative publicity from it, but we would say, well, at least people now know where to find us. And then seekers begin to come because there are people who have questions. And everyone around them is Muslim. They've never met a Christian. So they go to the place where they can meet a Christian.
So when you open the door, we represent the Greek Orthodox Church, who's had, the Greek Orthodox population of Turkey is down to under 3,000. I mean, it's very, very few. It used to be very large. And they can't even go outside of their facilities without hassle. How was it received, or how were you all initially received? You said you had seekers. How long until seekers started showing up? Was it instantaneous? Was it months or?
Within days, weeks.
Really?
Yeah, pretty quick. So everybody there has to be one. This is the difference. Some churches here in the States, people leave one church to join something new. Right. Everybody has to be one to Christ there.
Did you get a sense, when you're talking about a population that does not really know Christianity, did you get any sense that there was, when you would first talk to the folks there, that they did have a general understanding? Was it more an inquiry of, what is this?
Most of them have never met a Christian. The only thing they know about Jesus is what Islam teaches about Jesus. So some of them are just curious. Everything they know about Christianity has come from Hollywood, from TV or from movies. So they really don't know about Jesus.
Yeah.
And the guts of the gospel have been torn out for them. So they don't believe, they don't understand the basics. They've been taught that the Bible has been changed. So you're really starting not just at neutral, but way negative.
Right. Norma, she wrote it on Facebook. She said, prior to your arrest, did either of you, especially with your children there as well, ever feel unsafe while in Turkey? And I think I'd answer this a different way. I mean, you knew you were entering the mission field to go into foreign countries. So a little bit maybe different tolerance for what is unsafe than the average folks who aren't called to do that. But prior to that, and prior to those first 23 years, were there any kind of issues like this?
So I think it's safe for Christians to go to Turkey, especially for tourism. But when you're there doing church planting or a very visible Christian, then you're going to get a different reaction. So anybody who's been involved in a public church plant is going to have threats. Mm-hmm. We had a number of threats over the years. And there was one occasion when I was attacked by a gunman came to our church. So there can be risk.
Yeah. So the risks are real when you're ministering in this part of the world, predominantly a Muslim world that is, again, has very little knowledge of Christianity. A lot of times, too, links Christianity directly with either America or Israel and makes it very political. I noticed that, too, in that region. So that can be a bar to getting past people. But obviously, there was a want. I mean, for 23 years, people kept coming, and you kept the ministry going. So there was a desire for people to learn and a desire for people to ultimately even join the Christian faith.
You know, a lot of people have had dreams of Jesus. Jesus appears in their dreams or an angel and says, go read the Bible or go find a Christian. So he is there. Holy Spirit is there preparing the way.
Yes. You know, it's interesting you say that because we've so many cases that we've been involved in with Muslim converts to Christianity, it's Jesus appearing to them. It's not just Muslims, by the way. It happens a lot. But, I mean, I have a friend of mine that's a Jewish Christian and was the same kind of experience. I mean, it's like, and when you talk to him, this is a guy that is just, you know, straight and narrow, you know, he's kind of a black and white kind of guy. But when you talk to him about his testimony, when he talks about Jesus appearing to him, he's not like kidding. I mean, it's not like it was some vague dream. It was like the reality. Here's an interesting question that came in. And again, we're taking your calls as well at 800-684-3110. Kristen asked on Facebook, how has this strengthen your walk with Jesus? So before we get to that, let's talk about what happened. So you're 23 years there, incidents here and there, but nothing of this significance. What happens that leads to your arrest?
It was out of the blue. We were very surprised. We were called into the police station. We thought we were going to be receiving long-term residence permits, which we had applied for. And then they told us they were going to deport us. So we knew that that was a risk, that they could deport us. But the idea that they would keep me in prison was, no one had thought that was possible.
And so how did that, Noreen, how did that come down? So you think you're going over there for a long-term visa, basically, and it's the opposite.
Yeah, it was, we were shocked. We were shocked to hear, well, that we're being deported.
You were both picked up at yes. first, right?
Well, we both walked down to the police station. We're yes. told, yes, you're going to be deported, but then you can't leave. We're holding you until you're deported. And we're there was a developing situation that first day, to be honest. We didn't understand fully what that meant, how they were going to hold us until they deported us.
Then they put us in a deportation center together for 13 days, and we had no contact with the outside world. We didn't know what was happening.
When did you? That was the next thing I was going to ask. So when you go to the deportation center, both of you are held for almost 2 weeks at that point. And then we'll get into a little bit more of this after the break. But I think it's important for people to understand that you're going in with this expectation of one thing, a visa grant, and you end up in a deportation center. You had no idea that was going to end up with your husband being incarcerated. No. No clue of any of this going on?
No. Although when we arrived to the deportation center, and then they checked a box that for terrorism, not just a threat to national security, and my heart stopped there. I thought something is wrong here.
Yeah. So this is unfortunately, what happens, and Jordan, we've talked about this a lot, yeah. becomes everything's a national security risk.
Yeah, everything, including, when we translated the charges, the official yes. charging documents, the terrorism that they were talking about, that Noreen was just talking about, that Pastor Brunson was charged with, actually translated from Turkish into Christianization.
Right.
That would be terrorism or a national security risk to a country like Turkey. And again, so we have to get out of our Western mindset, look into the Muslim world and at some of these more authoritarian regimes and see how they will use your Christian faith or your ministry and turn that into an act that you could be terrorizing the public by sharing that faith.
So we're going to play in a moment for those on Facebook and Periscope, and I'll play the audio of it later for the radio audience, the kind of culmination of this event, which was in Washington, D.C. Now, we're jumping way, way ahead, so we're going to get more of the story. CeCe Howell's going to join us and to discuss this in a moment. But coming up, and if you're on Facebook and Periscope, you want to share this with your friends, you're going to see something that probably nobody ever thought they would see in the Oval Office. I've been in that Oval Office a lot, not for this. But I was able to watch it on TV, and I was really very, very pleased with what I saw when Pastor Brunson prayed for the President of the United States. So pray for those in authority. That's not just words. They did it. The family did it. The Brunsons did that. All right, so we'll take your calls, 800-684-3110. If you're on the phone, hang on there. We're going to get you in the next segment, 1-800-684-3110. And again, a huge thank you to all our friends that listen to this broadcast and support the work of the ACLJ. Last month was a record, and that's because of you, so thank you. We'll be back with more, including your calls, at 800-684-3110 in just a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Hey, so a little bit later in the broadcast, we just played this for our Facebook and Periscope audience. I'm going to play for you the audio of the Brunsons praying for the President of the United States in the Oval Office on TV live. It was a Saturday, I think. Is that right?
It was a Saturday.
CC Howell's joining us. Being recognized that voice, of course. But that was quite a day, and it was quite a week getting to that point. We left with you being in the deportation proceedings, and then ultimately 13 days in prison, and then. I want to go take a call because people are calling in 800-684-3110. Before I get to the call, though, you saw that mark and it said terrorism. And Noreen, you said you knew at that point that this had taken on a whole new dimension or another dimension.
I felt that something was very wrong. They typically deport people under threat to national security. Yep. That's a broad category, kind of a catch-all. But when they were specifying that and under those conditions that Turkey was in at the time, it scared me.
You know, they accuse you, I don't know if you got a lot of it there, but they accuse you of being a spy. Andrew, they were accusing you of being a spy for the United States. That was part of what was coming out. And then I don't know if you know, you were in jail, so you didn't know this, but I was on the phone with the president when he said, you know, he was angry at Turkey. I mean, I was there with calls this president, as you know, on these things is unapologetic in getting the Americans out. And besides the one where the lira tanked, their currency, and he said you were going to be the most expensive pastor Turkey ever kept. And I think that obviously the economic sanctions had an impact. It was a guy that obviously did the release, but the president was very, very, very direct. But I remember at one point he said, "You think this guy's a spy? I'm more of a spy than he'll ever be." That was from the president of the United States. I just want to get that out because those are the. I just told one of our team. I said, "Let's pull all the tweets that the president sent out during." Pastor Brunson's captivity. I want to have those for the last segment, next 30 minutes. Let's go ahead and take a call and then go right back to the story.
Yeah, let's go to Myra in California on line one. Myra, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Myra. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Sure. Pastor Brunson, I prayed for you. And what's next?
What's next for the Brunson family?
Yeah, so first, I want to thank everyone who prayed for us. It was such a great support for us, and we're astounded by how many people prayed for us. So thank you very much. What's next is, we still want to see the church grow in the Middle East. And so we're trying to find ways to encourage that, to train the next generation that's going out. And I also have a great burden for, as I've returned to the States, I have not had a burden for the States in the past. I've been focused overseas, but just to see the next generation strengthened, because I think it's going to become more and more difficult for believers to stand unapologetically for Jesus in an increasingly hostile culture. Yeah. So I think that we need to strengthen the next generation. Noreen, so I'd like to be involved in that.
Yeah, is that what you think's next?
Yeah, there are several things along those lines that are kind of just growing in our hearts, and so we're waiting on the Lord during this time.
Okay, and it's a good thing to do. I mean, you got to take your time when you come back from something like this. Cece, let's talk about for a moment. We know about the. They're taken into, detention center. We've been through this a number of times on other cases. But how did the first call come into us for help?
I actually believe it came in from Pat Robertson's office.
I think it was, Gordon contacted me.
And so I got Noreen's number, and I called her immediately.
You're exactly right. And, I remember that.
Yeah.
And yeah, Gordon called me and said that, Gordon Robertson called me and said, we've got a situation with a wonderful couple. They've done a great work in Turkey, and they've got a problem. And at that point, I thought it was going to be three phone calls, and we'll get them out.
Right. And it certainly wasn't.
It was
2
not.
Years later, from October 7th, 2016 to October 12th, 2018. So it was over 2 years of daily just working and advocating and going to D.C. and going to the Working Group on Arbitrary Detention at the United Nations and talking to Noreen every day. Of what's going on and keeping up with the trials that happened in Turkey.
Know, which brings up an interesting aspect of it. So, Noreen, you know what's going on every day, and Andrew, you don't, because you're in the jail and you could see each other. Was it once a week is when they allowed a visitation?
Yes.
Yeah. And we've got a situation right now with Pastor Saul where basically almost no visitation. So he has very little idea what's going on, a little bit from his mother occasionally. Each one of these cases are different. This is a question that's come in. From Jim on Facebook, and he said, how did the people from your church in Turkey respond to your incarceration?
Yeah.
I don't know. I wasn't.
Yeah, I'm so proud of them. So of course there was fear and there was a real unknown because this was a different, this was new territory. So the question is, what would happen to others? What would happen to the church? There was a lot of media attention that was very difficult, but overall, those who stayed really pressed in to prayer, to worship, and actually became stronger. So I'm very proud of them.
All right. So you're in prison. Church is responding. Let's go ahead and take it. Let's do this. Let's, before this break, let's take a call, and then we'll get, I've got a whole series of questions I've been wanting to ask you.
If, if you want to ask any questions to Pastor Brunson's wife, Noreen, again, call 1-800-684-3110. We are live. This is a unique opportunity to do that. 1-800-684-3110. Jerry is calling in from Rhode Island online too. Jerry, welcome to JSecul Live.
Hello, team, Pastor and Mrs. Brunson. Mrs. Brunson, do you recall when Jay asked Colonel West to lead all the listeners in prayer on a Friday while he was in a really bad detention situation?
Yeah.
And by Monday, he was lifted up out of the bad room to the next one. That, and do you see how God worked to expand prayer, power prayer, including using the president and people who understood we're going to pray, and then they saw the results? Do you see how you were used?
Yes, we're just really humbled by what God did through the prayers of his people. Absolutely.
You know, that was an interesting one because I remember that we were in a, everybody was, we were all very concerned, obviously. And, you know, I always tell everybody in these cases, and I think you'll understand it from our end, we as your lawyers have to approach this very clinically. You can't get emotional about it. I mean, it's hard not to, but you've got to be very clinical. You got to say, okay, this is what's happened. What do we do? This might happen. What's the next plan? I mean, I had dozens of conversations, I mean, with the president. I mean, more than dozens. I mean, this was something that was on his mind. It was on discussions. I mean, I'd be in the Oval Office on another matter, and you would come up. I mean, it was just, this was the kind of a constant refrain of what was going on. But I do remember when Wes was sitting in the chair that Noreen's in, or maybe it was Andrew's chair, that we were very concerned about that, and we just said, in the middle of a broadcast, we're talking to millions of people, we just said, let's stop in a moment and pray.
Wow.
It makes a big impact. What is the length of the prayer that we're going to play? About a minute and 10 seconds? All right, so you have not seen this on, you haven't heard this on radio, Facebook and Periscope, you just did. This is the culmination of the release, and we'll talk more about that in a moment, was this prayer in the Oval Office to the President of the United States.
Lord God, I ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit on President Trump, that you give him supernatural wisdom to accomplish all the plans you have for this country and for him. I ask that you give him wisdom in how to lead this country into righteousness. I ask that you give him perseverance and endurance and courage to stand for truth. I ask that you protect them from slander, from enemies, from those who would undermine. I ask that you make him a great blessing to this country. Fill him with your wisdom and strength and perseverance. And we bless him. May he be a great blessing to our country. In Jesus' name, we bless you. Amen.
Amen. And I just want to pray that the Spirit of the Lord would rest on the President. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. Amen.
The second half hour of JSecul Live is coming up, so stay with us. Continue to share this broadcast with your friends and family if you're on Facebook and Periscope. We'll be just back in just about a minute and 20 seconds, literally, back with the Brunsons who are in studio with us live. Unique to be able to ask them questions about someone who has been gone through this persecution and been freed. If you want to talk to them on air, 1-800-684-3110. Thank you for your support of the ACLJ. We'll be right back.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
We'll be right back. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
I know it's Tuesday and there's a lot of things happening, and we're going to get to all the things that are happening tomorrow because we've got a very special broadcast today, and that is, we don't often get to do this, but Pastor Andrew and wife Noreen Brunson are with us in our studios here at our media center. Look, normally the way these things work, and you know this, and we're just thrilled that they came in and talked to our staff today, which was really our team today, which was really important. But the way these things work is when we're done with one case, we say the same thing, next case. And the next case, of course, is Pastor John Saw. And that is a pastor, again, a permanent American resident in jail in China, now going on 2 years. Same kind of situation there. But we're going to talk to the Brunsons about their situation. But before we do, let's get an update on Pastor Saw's case, because that's ongoing right now.
Cece. Right. So Pastor Saw had an outstanding appeal that the court would just never hear, pushed it and pushed it and pushed it and just delayed it. We went to the working group on arbitrary detention. We've gone to the Capitol several times in D.C., and have pushed for him to at least have an appeal because he was wrongfully convicted, sentenced to 7 years in prison. Just recently, he finally got his appeal, but they didn't hear his case. All they did was announce that they were sending him on to prison. So he's now been transferred to prison after already sitting in a detention center for 2 years. He's now been transferred to prison and going through what they call an orientation period, which is basically kind of the brainwashing period that they do to the prisoners. Unfortunately, for these 2 years that he has been, over 2 years that he's been in prison, he has not been able to see his family at all. He has not been allowed any visitation with his wife or his two sons. During the time in the detention center, he only was allowed visitation with his attorneys. That happened maybe once every 2 months. So it's a very difficult situation for him because he really does not know what's going on. And there are times where we can't even have any access to him.
I think it's important too. This was something we were talking about with Pastor Brunson, with Pastor Saw's case. And it just brought up this idea that Pastor Saw has not had any visitation. And you talked about, Pastor Brunson, the idea that when you started to have some visitation once a week, when Noreen was able to visit you and kind of give you updates and information, encouragement, that was very significant for you.
It was a lifesaver for me. I was very isolated. I didn't have other Christians around me. I was surrounded completely by Muslims. So I felt very isolated in my faith especially. And so to meet with Noreen, she was the only Christian I could meet with.
Were they actually letting Noreen in the room, or was it through glass?
It was through reinforced glass and on telephones.
Yep.
So we had about 35 minutes in one prison, and the next one, it was like, Kevin, I got up to 1 hour with her a week. Yeah. And that was a time when she would come in and encourage me and speak truth to me, and that would keep me going to the next week.
Noreen, because one of the things I remember that we were concerned about during the every time you were, I know you were speaking to Cece, but something I was concerned about as the chief counsel of this organization is I was worried about them picking you up because they had originally pulled you for detention. So I was always worried about, you know, we got to keep an eye on that to make sure we don't end up with two picked up. Was that ever a concern of yours? I know you were.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. It was, you know, it was a possibility. And especially in the beginning in our apartment building. So, you know, you asked, what is it living over there? It's very dense. So high rises. And I would hear people in the stairs of the building. And especially if I'd hear men's voices, several men, you know, then I think, are they coming to my door?
Yeah.
So that was definitely, you know, a possibility. But
she stayed at personal arrest to herself.
Yes.
And she did this because she was the only person who could visit me. And so she was really keeping me alive there.
Really, really important. Then I want to just, I mean, we only 30 seconds here before we go to a break. This was a monumental effort by your team up there as well.
Yeah, the scope and breadth of this was really unsurpassed, Jay. But look, the response from the United States government was unified as well. We can get into some of that. But a big part of this, Jay, was the United States speaking with one voice.
No question about that. And I'll tell you, I'll never forget that tweet about the spy. I'm more of a spy than he'll ever be. That was your president in action. All right, we're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. Comments also coming in on Facebook and Periscope. We're going to get to those, and we'll talk about those. But again, give us a call, 800-684-3110. We have a video coming up. We do. Got a video coming up. You're not going to want to miss that on Facebook and Periscope. Share it with your friends. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Broadcast. Everyone taking your calls at 800-684-3110. We're here with Noreen Brunson and Andrew Brunson, and we're getting phone calls coming as well at 800-684-3110. I want to go to Cece and, well, first let me ask this to Pastor Brunson and to Noreen. So to Andrew and Noreen. So Andrew, when you found out you were going to be released, I mean, actually, it first was home confinement, correct? You were sent to your home, which had to still be a relief.
After prison, I was sent to home confinement. But it was still very stressful because then the economy started going bad under the sanctions. And so I didn't know what was going to happen. And at any point, they could put me back in prison.
And there were calls for that.
Yes. Well, within Turkey.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
We knew here that those sanctions were going to ultimately get you out quicker because the economic impact, this was actually, as I said, not jokingly, I mean, I don't know if it was Financial Times or it may have been CNBC. It was one of the financial papers said that on Jay Sekulow's radio broadcast, they mentioned that there was progress made in Pastor Brunson's case, and the lira had an uptick. I mean, this tells you how it was the geopolitical aspects of this. Mm-hmm. When you do these kind of cases, folks, and this is where I appreciate our ACLJ members, understand from our team, we're handling it with the media, we're handling it with the diplomacy, we're handling it with, Than's handling it with government affairs, CeCe's handling a legal end in Turkey, we're working the congressional issues here, but let me tell you what else we're working on, the economics. In these cases, when that economic issue can be helpful. And then here, it made a gigantic difference.
It made a huge difference, Jay. First of all, hello, Andrew and Noreen. Good to see you again. But look, on this case of sanctions, and Jay, you will remember this, specifically an issue involving the F-35s. That is something that Congress was willing to put pressure on from the beginning. And most administrations, Jay, would not allow that to happen. Because think about how significant an ally Turkey was and is, both on the economic side and the military side. Any idea of fracturing some of those security agreements would have been opposed by many administrations. This administration was open to that conversation, Jay. And so I know you remember this, but just so our listeners remember, in addition to the sanctions, just a couple of months before Pastor Brunson was released, Congress sent to the president a bill that actually said no more F-35s until Pastor Brunson is home. Those combinations of pressure points, Jay, were a big reason he came home.
That was deemed at the time to be a controversial move because some of our friends were concerned. I will tell you this, though. We were working all of the back channel information on this to keep this thing to keep the case moving forward. You want to get some kind of momentum going here. Let's go ahead and take a call. Pierce was calling.
Yeah, Pierce is calling from North Carolina on line one and has a question for the Brunsons. Pierce, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, y'all?
Hey, Pierce.
A quick question. Me and my wife's been called to do mission work in Bangladesh. We actually leave 2 weeks from today. And I just had a question for Pastor about how he knew, and maybe he could share about the call God put on his life to go and do long-term missions and what that was like.
Thanks, Pierce.
Well, for many years I wanted to be a missionary since I was a kid. And we went to the largest unevangelized country in the world. I think now is the time for Muslims, time for the church to be focused on winning them. They are the obviously a huge group that with very few believers in them. So I think this is a time for Muslims.
So it was early. When you say it was early, was this when you were a kid? Early on in your life?
Yes.
What about you, Noreen?
There is a story behind it, actually. He had a very unusual calling. And I realized after I met him that if I marry this man, I'm going to the mission field. So it was a package deal. Am I willing for this or not? I followed, and then the Lord really worked it in my heart.
Yeah. So you go to Turkey, you get there, you establish the church. I mean, it's hard for people to understand that for over two decades, you really, other than you had occasional issues, but you didn't have governmental issues of this significance. Did this literally come out of the blue?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm the first person who's been put in prison in Turkey. So it was really unexpected.
For being a Christian. Yeah. I mean, to me, Cece, that was always the issue here. It was like, what trigger? You always wonder, what was the triggering event?
Right. And we tied it back to the failed coup attempt that happened just, previous to you being picked up in October. It happened that summer. And it seemed like that President Erdogan was targeting anyone who he thought was a threat to his regime. And that would, of course, include Christians. But Pastor Brunson became kind of a little bit higher than just a Christian to deport.
You know, there's also a careful balance in this of elevating these cases and making sure you're not over-elevating the case.
Yeah.
One thing that we pointed out, I remember pointing out to our audience here, especially as this got more and more heated when the sanctions issue came up and the two individuals from the Erdogan government were sanctioned. I think it was his justice minister and his interior minister, so two very high-ranking officials. And the economy in Turkey just started tanking very quickly, having a worldwide impact, all because of the U.S. Demand that Pastor Brunson be released. But we reminded people that, here in the United States, we have this 24-hour, 24/7 news cycle. There's all these stories, and you were on. I mean, the story was on. It was being covered and talked about. The President of the United States is talking about it. But in Turkey, you were like a front-page news item every single day. You might not have seen it because you were in prison, but I mean, it was every day. Some really nasty stuff, horrible allegations about the spying and the threat that he posed to the country. I mean, just tell people about that. In Turkey, they really made this kind of story about
which
Pastor
affected
Brunson,
your safety,
which I think also is probably tied to the fact that they had never done this before to a Christian or to an individual like this to imprison them. So they had to make up a story about why.
So I think the Turkish government was behind. It was a propaganda campaign in the media. And the attempt was to paint Christians in a very negative way. So there's already a negative perception of Christians, but it was to inflame this. And by saying all these things about me, they were painting me with a brush, but they were also painting the entire Christian church, the community in Turkey, with the same thing. And this is preparing the ground so that in the future, when there is persecution, then the majority of Turkish citizens will say, well, they deserve it.
Yeah. I'm going to take calls and comments, 1-800-684-3110. Facebook and Periscope, you can get your comments in. We've got a great one here. And again, if you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110. Tina writes, were you able to have a Bible in prison?
Eventually. Every time they moved me to a new place, there were questions about that. Sometimes I didn't have one, and sometimes I did.
Yeah. How traumatic was, when you were moved to a different location, how traumatic was that as a prisoner?
It could be very traumatic, yes.
Don't know what you're going to. You become institutionalized. Any little change affects more than it normally would.
Yeah.
I saw that clearly.
And some of the things I had won in previous places, I could lose in the next place.
Right. Didn't necessarily
like my books or a Bible, for example.
Yeah. So, Noreen, the church, Andrew's in jail. What's happening to the church at that time?
We continued. So I was just so proud of them for continuing and pressed into God, prayed, worshiped.
Unafraid, really.
Kept going.
Yeah.
I think there was fear, but
there
I think
was fear.
There was,
oh, there
I'm
was
sure.
fear.
They showed great courage.
But in the midst of that,
yeah,
they kept going.
So we have a Facebook comment that came in from Christine, and she asked, is that church still operating? today in Turkey.
It is.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, that's great news for people.
And, that is.
And yeah. More and more seekers, and people are linking this directly to the amount of prayer that poured into Turkey.
Yeah.
There is a difference being seen in a number of churches already.
Hey, Than, what do you think was the moment, politically the moment? I mean, I know the White House side because I was in that, but on the Hill, what was the moment? I mean, there were several, but what would you say the cascading moments here were, the kind of key points along the way, for people to understand what it takes to do this?
Yeah, I would give you a couple of, Jay. First, one is more of a geopolitical factor, and one is a personal factor. The personal factor really is one of the unsung heroes in this case, and that's the Brunson's daughter, Jacqueline, who came to the Hill to testify in front of the Helsinki Commission. I think CC talked about her testifying in front of the Human Rights Council in Geneva as well. But, Jay, that put a face with a story. You know, obviously, Pastor Brunson is in prison on the other side of the world, and Noreen is over there with her. But Jacqueline came to the Hill to put a face to the case. I think that made a big difference here in Washington, D.C. And then geopolitically, Jay, I really think it was the White House being willing to stand behind pressure points. I know we talked about this generically, but you know, I'm holding in my hands a letter from 66 United States senators demanding Pastor Brunson's release. You can't get 66 senators to agree on just about anything in Washington, D.C. The reason they fell in line to such an extent, though, Jay, is because they were getting a signal from down the street that the president, the commander-in-chief, was willing to use sanctions, was willing to use a security force to get Pastor Brunson's release. I think those two things are really the things that started to turn the tide, and I think Turkey saw, look, this is inevitable. It's just a matter of how long this pain is going to continue. We want to turn that pain off, so we'll send him home.
We're going to play Jacqueline's appearance before the UN's Human Rights Council either during the break or when we come back. How long is it, team?
Minute 38.
Yeah, well, let's play it on air when we come back from the break. I think it's important to do it. All right, well, last segment, so we'll take some more calls, more comments. 800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. CeCe, quickly, when did you know it was done?
You know, I really think there were a couple times throughout the two-year period, but I think when the whole world started the economic pressure of, look, we're all going to pull out of Turkey, where they were watching what was going to happen with Pastor Brunson, that's when I knew, okay, it's something's going to happen, because it wasn't just the United States, it was the world then.
I was getting calls from Turkey's lobbyists. They were concerned. So, yep. And result was pretty great. Again, your thoughts, your prayers, your support for our work allowed us to work on those cases. I'm going to, next segment, kind of take you through what that's like as well. So we'll be back with more in a moment. Again, if you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let me just say this again. Thank you, because I can't say it enough. Your support for the ACLJ last month allowed us to meet our goals. Thank you. Your support enables us to do these cases here in the United States and around the globe. And we take a very different approach to these cases, as you know. I'm going to talk about the differences when we come back from the break.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Calls 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Joined by Pastor Andrew Brunson's wife, Noreen. You just said something very interesting before we went on the air, Andrew. Just we were on this break, and that was from the, you said, from the courthouse to the White House, basically.
I was standing in a Turkish courtroom, and I was convicted of terrorism, and I thought I was going back to prison, and within a day, we're in the White House. So it's a pretty amazing turnaround, a Joseph story.
I do remember our friend Rick Rennell, who's the ambassador from the United States to Germany, met you. Was it like 2 o'clock in the morning when you – tell me about that.
We arrived in Germany, and we got off the plane, and there's someone waiting with an American flag, and he said he's the U.S. ambassador. I thought, what is he doing here at 2 in the morning to meet us? It was really amazing.
Well, he's a believer. He takes it seriously, and he was a big advocate for you in Germany and in Europe because we had to get Europeans involved. I mean, that's part of what happens here. I wanted to say this, and this is no knock on anybody's approach. And let me tell you what the ACLJ's model of these cases are. To be very public, we have not found, and Than, I know, and you and Jordan probably want to comment on this, we have not found that quiet diplomacy on these kind of cases, other than maybe a week, generally works. I'm not knocking anybody else that handles these, but the cases we've gotten involved in, we've been very public very quickly.
Yeah, if you're not, Jay, it gives them the cover of darkness to do whatever they want. I mean, we have found that exposing what is going on to the world is the best chance for success in the end. And I think that was particularly important in this case. I mean, look, Jay, one of the things that made this case so different is usually it's with a nation like Iran, who is, you know, naturally hostile with the United States, or even China, who's not an enemy. They're an ally, but they're sort of adversarial. In this case, we were dealing with a country that's a NATO ally that we wanted strong economic ties with. And, Jay, we just thought it was really important that the whole world saw what was happening, because even people inside Turkey, Jay, were not going to stand for this. So, just a second ago, you mentioned Ambassador Grinnell and the European support that we got from it. Jay, I'm holding in my hands a letter that was signed by 100 members of the European Parliament demanding Pastor Brunson's release. These are members of Parliament, Jay, that he's not a constituent of theirs. He's not a citizen of their country, but it was so important that the eyes of the world were on the case so that this wouldn't happen in cover of darkness. And in other cases, we've seen it too. That really is a critical component to making sure you get a positive outcome.
Yeah, I think you have a situation like in Iran where people are you could be arrested and be hanged the same day. You don't give them even a day. You have to start, you know, these campaigns immediately, put them on notice, and kind of shame the government.
Job one is keep them alive.
Same
keep
with Sudan,
the person in
like
prison
Amir
alive.
Amir Ibrahim situation that we've dealt with. You've got to immediately keep. Here, Turkey was supposed to be different, right? A NATO ally, but we did not give them a lot of time. We gave about a week to say, okay, we'll let you try to figure this out. But by the way, you know, we have a pretty good relationship with the president of the United States, and you're a NATO ally, so you're about to be shamed to the entire world if you do this. And they called a bluff. They said, okay. Erdogan stood up tough and said, okay, let's see if you actually do it. The president sent out tweets. I remember when we saw it, I think I woke up to him because he tweets sometimes pretty early. And he tweeted out that he was thinking about putting sanctions on Turkey. And then a day later, I think he tweeted, I have sanctioned two of the Turkish leaders. So, I mean, it was intense pressure coming from one nation to another. And I think, again, it is a huge contrast in how the work we've done with these previous cases. We keep the similar strategy, but we had a like-minded strategist to work with.
The United States will impose large sanctions on Turkey for their longtime detainment of Pastor Andrew Brunson, a great Christian family man and wonderful human being. That's from the President of the United States.
And I don't think Turkey thought he was going to do it, and then he did.
Well, he did it. And that was, I remember a couple of times when it was pretty intense on what he was going to do, and he did do it. I think it made a big difference in Pastor Brunson's case. One a good question that's coming in, a number of good questions coming in, and I want to play Jacqueline at the UN, but this one first. This is from Frankie, and she said, Pastor, could you feel the prayers of God's people?
Noreen would tell me people were praying. I say in prison, there was grace, but it was an unfelt grace. Most of the time, God was teaching me to stand in the dark. But I know that it's the prayers of God's people that sustained me and brought me out.
Well, here's your daughter at the United Nations Human Rights Council.
I pass the floor to the European Center for Law and Justice. Thank you, Mr. President. I'm here today on behalf of the ECLJ, who is representing my father, Pastor Andrew Brunson, the innocent United States citizen who has been wrongfully imprisoned in Turkey now for almost a year and a half, and yet he has still not been formally charged with any crime. Having grown up in Turkey, it has been hard for me to understand the situation. My family loves and respects the Turkish people, and my father has been dedicated to serving them for over two decades. I know the allegations against him are absurd. He is not an armed terrorist trying to overthrow any government. My father is a peaceful pastor. My family has suffered greatly during the past year and a half, which has been filled with tears and countless unanswered questions. I visited my father last August, and we sobbed the entire visit. It was hard to see him so broken, so thin, so desperate. He wrote a note last week which said, "Let it be clear. I am in prison not for anything I have done wrong, but because of who I am, a Christian pastor. I desperately miss my wife and children. Yet, I believe this to be true. It is an honor to suffer for Jesus Christ, as many have before me. My deepest thanks to all those around the world who are standing with and praying for me." Turkey should not get away with holding my father one more day. Please make any and all efforts to secure my father's release and safe return to the United States. He's been falsely imprisoned for far too long. Thank you.
Well, those are the kind of things that make, CC, you were there for those, that make a huge difference.
Yeah. And you know, what's amazing is you sit there and you have people, you know, go quickly and give their testimony one right after another. And when you bring a daughter or a wife and she sits down and starts testifying, you couldn't see it in that video, but literally the whole room turns around and looks who's speaking.
Yeah.
And they never do that. They don't turn around. They just listen, you know, to the interpretation. And but as soon as she sat down and said who she was and she was there on behalf of her father, the whole room turned around. So it makes a huge difference have family members.
And look, when we sought that UN NGO status all those years ago, so we had a fight to get that. I mean, I had a fight. We led a team. It was a fight to get that status.
Supporters thought, why do you want to deal with the UN?
And that's exactly why you want to deal with the UN. You saw it in Switzerland.
I just want to remind people that in Switzerland, the UN Human Rights Council, which is not always a friendly place
to
be in the U.S. or our issues, but on these issues of persecution is.
And their daughter was there. You have to be there.
She was able to speak because of our status.
Yes, absolutely.
And we got a win with the working group on arbitrary detention from the UN, that was huge.
Yeah, so all those factors make a big difference. We only got a minute left here, so I'll go first to Noreen, then to Andrew. So you're out. What was your first reaction when you got the word when you were on that airplane on the way back? How'd you feel?
I was waiting. I was watching the map and waiting till we actually left Turkish airspace, because that's when I would truly relax.
Did you relax?
Oh, once that happened, yes. But I watched us climb instead of leaving straight away. Well, so it was a long ways.
Yeah. What about you, Andrew?
It was unbelievable to me.
Yeah.
Surreal.
Well, I want you to know this. And I know you spoke to our team here at our media center. And I really appreciate you taking time to do that, because they worked. Most of the folks are still here. Some have gone on other things. But all of them that worked on this really did a fantastic job of being creative to keep you in the news, to keep this front and center. And we're grateful to God, obviously, for the grace that he gave us and the wisdom that he gave us and the endurance that he gave you, Andrew, because I know that was a...
We are so thankful for ACLJ.
Well, I appreciate that. I know all of our members do, too. Folks, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. Again, let me say, it's hard for me to not say thank you enough, because this was like the perfect example of where we had our UN team, our government affairs team, our lawyers, our media operations, all working together for a great result. So a huge thank you from all of us at the ACLJ, our European Center for Law and Justice affiliates, and our affiliates around the globe. Thank you for being part of the team and standing with us. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ.